Hey.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, and welcome to Amongst Friends. Group of friends getting together, bring you the grown and the sexy.
Are you serious, yo?
I'll be your host tonight. My name is Jeff. Pleasure to be here. I hope you feel the same way, too. I'm joined tonight by some of my friends. Say hello, Deidre.
What's up, yo?
I got my man J to the O to the E.
What's up, Jeff? What's up, family?
All right. And, of course, we have the ever so lovely Heather on the line.
Hey, Jeff. You're so kind. Thank you.
Yay.
All right. Now, callers, we want you to call in because we want this show to be on and popping. So do call us at 760-683-2662. All right, fam. Our topic tonight is interracial relationships. Are they right or are they wrong? Little subtopic in there is, are we betraying our race by dating outside of our race? So let's just, as Deidre said, let's just go in, because you know she's so raw like that. Okay, so for us to jump on into this topic, I feel that it's only right that we sort of talk about a little bit, you know, where these hang-ups come from on interracial relationships. You know, where the beef started with, you know, people getting upset about, you know, the black man dating white woman to a white woman dating a Chinese man. Let's jump into the origins of these hang-ups. Now, I'll be the first to say that as a black man, I can definitely see that these hang-ups have started deeply rooted within the black community because of slavery. You know, the whole situation on, you know, the white man, he did what he did to, you know, our people, to, you know, our women, and, you know, the white women wanting that Mandingo situation to happen to get back at the master because she knew that he was in the slave house doing his dirt, or what have you. So I feel that that is where it comes from us, and we feel so passionate about it being a bad thing. So I'm gonna throw it now to my cast of friends here. What do y'all think? Do you think I'm on the mark with it, or do you think I'm a little off?
Well, I don't think that you... What'd you say, Jeff?
Oh, go ahead, Heather.
I'm not sure that I heard clearly what you said, so I'm going to ask you to repeat what you said and speak up so that I can hear you, because I wasn't very clear on what you said.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so... For me, I feel that the hang-ups on interracial relationships for the black community stem from how we felt about the situation that went on during slavery, where, you know, you had the master going to the slave house and, you know, him raping black women, you know, and black men not feeling too good about that. Then you had the situation in which, you know, master's wife, you know, she got her freak on, you know, with the Mandingo that she saw out in the field, and that whole situation wasn't in the most positive light as being seen by black women. So this has been something that's been building up within our community from that situation on both sides of the fence, man and woman. So do you feel I'm on the mark with that, or do you feel I'm a little off the mark?
Well, I mean, I think I can understand the correlation that you're making, but I think in today's, I think that the bigger issue is there are people who have issues with interracial relationships just because they have a dislike for another race. I don't think it has so much to do with, especially for the black community coming from slavery. I personally believe that black women or black people in general, if there were more black men for companionship, wouldn't even find it as an issue, because anytime it's discussed, as far as I've been aware of, it's more so all of our men are gone over there, when really it's not. There are several black men that you could be with, you just don't choose to be with them. And then when you look at the relationships that are there, I think it also has to do with what you're brought up around, what you're accustomed to, and what you, you know, what you're comfortable with. I don't really see it as being an issue or a problem. So I wouldn't say that it has anything to do with slavery and being chosen by the master or being chosen, you know, to come into the house because they see this Mandingo brother. I think it really has to do with people having an issue with it because of their own personal issues as far as race relations or lack of available black men, you know, being single, you know, things like that.
All right. Joy, what do you think? Joey, did we lose you?
Maybe we did.
Oh.
Hello?
We did not lose Joy.
Okay.
Sorry. I think there's a number of things that I think about this topic. The main thing is that I think the problem probably lies a little bit in what Heather was saying, just that I think not even just black people or African Americans have the issue with the whole interracial thing, but I just think that a lot of people who believe in, like, kind of carrying on the bloodline and keeping the race or keeping the race pure and all these other thoughts. I definitely agree with Heather that it comes from a place of just some type of lacking within themselves or something they feel like they're missing, because the truth is there are plenty, like, you know, as much as people try to say it's not a lot of available people in their own race, or the other races are taking our men or our women type thing, there's a whole bunch of people in this world of all different colors, shapes, sizes, and races. It's just that, like Heather said, you just choose not to date this person, date the people within your race, or you choose to have the perception that they're not available. I do think, Jeff, that, like you said, that a lot of hang-ups from deep between the black and white, because that's, you know, black and white is just normally the one that's the biggest, that's like the, I guess, the one that's put out in front the most. I think the biggest issue, it did originally stem from black and white race relations in the past, and that now it has evolved a little bit more from the whole, oh, this master syndrome or the Mandingo mentality, from the taboo nature of a white man dating a black woman or a black man dating a white woman, or you know, from the notion now that a black man dates a white woman because he can't handle a black woman and, you know, all that other stuff. I think now it kind of, honestly, I think it's not more of, it's probably still an issue, but it's not as heavily talked about as it once was. Like, even, I would even say 3 years ago, it's not as big as an issue. Even in the media today, you don't even really find it when, you know, at first that was like a really big shock value for people. Now it's not, you know, people still have, you still have people that say here and there, but it's not as big as an issue as it once was, like when Jungle Fever was, you know, the movie and the song was, you know, you got Jungle Fever type thing, and, you know, people talking about interracial children not being able to understand where they come from, to now people are just kind of, you actually see it moving away from the whole black and white thing, and you see it moving into other races. So I think I answered your question, but I just don't see it as one centralized thing as to why people see it as wrong or people view it as inherently evil or betrayal.
Okay. So let me ask you a question. I'm just randomly picking your name out first. I have been in circles, you know, either with elders or friends or sometimes even coworkers, and heard, you know, just a roundabout discussion how passionate people feel that interracial relationships are just flat out wrong. What have you been in a situation like that to where you've heard that basically interracial relationships are wrong first? And secondly, what is the most outrageous thing you've heard that somebody uses justification for why interracial relationships are wrong?
Yes, I have heard in a situation, but at the same time, their comment was, but at the end of the day, you can't choose who you love. So, but there was some, you know, hey, I'm attracted to this type of woman, but I can't really get involved because my friends within the ministries would not approve. But like I said, at the end of the day, what they said was, you can't choose who you love. And yeah, I ain't really heard no outrageous stuff about, you know, I mean, the things that I've heard is that, you know, I'm more compatible with somebody who understands the struggles that African Americans go through. That's pretty much it. Oh, wait, no. And another one is, I can't be in a relationship with a Caucasian male because if he calls, slips up and is angry and slips up and calls me the N-word, it's not going to be a good look. So, so that's about the extent of the whys and the why nots. I mean, but it's kind of weird because if you think about we've mixed and mingled so much throughout slavery. I mean, really? Is anybody, you know, and this is speaking on what Joy was saying about keeping the race pure and what have you. I mean, we mix and mingle with so many different things that, you know, I got some white, I got some Indian, I got some black, I got some, you know. So really and truly, I ain't pure. Well, I done got to the point where I don't even check African-American anymore. Hey, I just check other because, yeah, that's just it. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're going to slide this over to Heather. Heather, have you ever fallen into that situation? Have you ever fallen into that situation to where there's a conversation going on about interracial relationships are wrong? And what was the most outrageous thing you heard somebody say to defend why they were wrong?
I really have not entertained those types of conversations. I can remember from a very early time in my life where it just seemed like such a stupid thing to talk about or to even discuss. But I mean, I'm really struggling to think of like the conversations that I may have been privy to where it was discussed, and at best, I think a true scratch would be like listening to something on Oprah and them saying that, you know, it pollutes the race and trying to keep the race pure. Or I do remember a time when there was a young lady who was dating a black man, and her family did not accept the grandchildren. So she could come and visit, but, you know, her kids couldn't. So, I mean, I think that's probably the extreme for me. Other than that, probably the most shocking thing, but it also was a very real thing for me, was hearing Dennis Rodman talk about how he started dating white women. And, you know, around that time, he, you know, was a very popular basketball star and things like that. And he had just come into the limelight. And what he said was that black women were not interested in him. And only white women would date him. Black women felt like he was ugly. And so it wasn't like he just started dating white women or other nationalities once he got rich and famous. That growing up, black women didn't find him attractive.
Okay.
So, as shocking as that was, I could find truth in that.
Definitely, definitely. Joey.
Yes.
I'm going to throw it to you. So, have you ever fallen into a situation where, you know, people are talking about why interracial relationships are wrong, and what was the craziest thing you ever heard somebody say to the state? Now, the ladies, of course, haven't mentioned anything. Haven't mentioned what I thought they would probably mention, you know, especially Deidre coming from, you know, Texas or anything specifically, but just in thinking about, you know, family, I guess family origins. I know a little bit more about her family origins than you guys, but nobody ever heard the, if you can't use my comb, you can't bring her home. Nobody ever heard anything.
Oh. Oh, my gosh.
I'll throw it to you, Joey.
Oh, gosh. You know what? I've heard some, again, it's not as bad as it used to be, you know, again, like, I guess because just the times that we live in, you don't, I know there are people still out here who are ignorant and who say some pretty stupid stuff, but I'll just say, like, in the past, like, even with my, you know, some of the elders in my family, they used to be like, look, I don't care what you bring in here, as long as you don't bring no white woman home, you know, and say things like, because they going to steal all our good men and, you know, just some, you know, just crazy stuff like that. And then actually, you know, colored people, I said colored people, yes, I did, but people who are brown, like I am, but they are not, their racial status or whatever is not African American or black, but they're like, you know, like Indians and things like that. Like, I didn't even know like there were racial or color issues in, you know, some of the Indian culture, not all, but just some. And actually in college, learning like, oh no, you don't mess with dark skinned people. And I'm dead serious. I heard that you don't mess with dark skinned people because they're not as successful as lighter skin. And so, you know, they would actually, you know, and this is just from one person's experience. I'm not attributing this to all of the Indian race or culture or whatever, but just from one person's experience, it's just like, oh, no, I could never date a black man or a dark-skinned Indian. I would have to date a lighter-skinned Indian or a white man because that is attributed to their level, their skin color is attributed to their level of success. And I wanted to vomit in my mouth because I was like, that's probably the most ignorant thing I've ever heard in my life. And not really realizing that this is, you know, that people are just kind of basing things off of their experience. Or I've heard even, you know, I've heard some self-loathing African-American women say, you know, I would date someone of a different race so my child can have straighter hair because I don't want them to kind of deal with the being called nappy head, or, you know, I don't want their skin color to be judged and things like that, you know. And just some of the negative stuff is just like, you shouldn't date outside your race because you know, you're not, our race is going to die out, and our numbers are already kind of thin from, like, poverty and, you know, a whole bunch of crazy stuff. And I think my biggest, like I said, the craziest thing I've heard is just the whole issue of skin color, not even more so race, but I guess skin color. Like, I only date lighter-skinned people because I don't want my baby to grow up being called blacky or darky like I was, you know, and things like that. And like I said, just, I can't remember who said it, but just the whole issue of, oh, my God, if you're a black man and you date outside your race, especially if you date a white woman, you are, like, looked at as, like, this demon almost, like you're demonized, or you have definitely kind of betrayed your race. And and then my favorite quote is, you can't handle black women. And I laugh at stuff like that.
Okay. All right. So what we're gonna do right now? We're gonna pause and try and get our callers to call on in. Just, you know, hit us up 760-683-2662. Call us to listen. If you got a question or comment, just make sure you hit the one, and we'll get you on the line. Moving on to our next branch of conversation. Has anybody on the panel, besides myself, dated outside their race?
Yes.
Okay, we got two yeses.
Yes.
Deidre?
Yeah.
Heather, your answer?
I kissed a white guy, but I haven't dated one.
Oh. So after you rock his world in that kiss, he ain't want none of that sugar? What's up?
Let's just put it like this. He lived in California. I lived in D.C. We were both in Atlanta on business, and we met.
Let me find out, Heather.
No, let me find out.
I don't understand, Joey. What is the problem?
I just didn't take you to date outside your race.
Why?
Well, because you have some pretty high standards for the people you date. Like,
exactly.
Some pretty high criteria.
Okay. I'm not sure what this high criteria is, other than you need to be taller than 6 feet and know how to lay it down in the bedroom. I mean, hey.
Again, like, I just honestly did not. Forgive me if it appears that I'm being judgmental, because I'm not. But I honestly didn't peg you to date outside the race.
I've actually been in several relationships.
Wow. See, on the Monk's Ranch, you learn something new every day.
You need to understand that I am trying to be married with kids. And guess what? It does not stop at the African-American door.
I know, that's right. Well, how did your family feel?
Well, they probably didn't know, because that's my business.
Oh.
I don't start. And see, what y'all have to understand is I typically don't bring around my boo or whatever until I am really, really serious and we're getting ready. We're talking marriage and stuff like that. So that they wouldn't have even known. I'm very close-lipped about relationships, period, anyway. But yeah, they were fun and interesting.
Okay. Learn something new every day. Go, Deidre. Being all open-minded and stuff.
That's funny. Now, please understand, my preference is that good old brother. But long as they tall, and that's across the board. Tall is in.
Not short.
All right. So check this out. All right. So we got our first caller for the night. Welcome. Is it Smitty from Arizona, correct?
Yes, right. Phoenix. Well, 58 degrees outside today.
All right.
Oh.
All right. Yeah.
So welcome to Among Friends. What's your question or comment tonight?
Okay. Can I be called a friend, too? Oh, this season. All right. Here's a couple quick things. I feel like there's nothing wrong with interracial if you're truly interested in that person. I feel like people should go around and say, oh, because black people are there, black men and black women are there. I don't think that's the case. But I feel like also sometimes you got to meet people that have similar interests. Now, I'm from Alabama, obviously.
And we can hear it. We can hear it.
Yeah,
all right. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I've been living in Phoenix for like 6 years now. Now, I'm in an airport, so I've been all over the world and stuff. So it just depends on where you live at. Now, it's like I have different interests out here. You know, I may like, let's say I may go to like a one like a soccer festival out here or something. I'm going to meet who's there at the place I go to. I'm not going to go anywhere to just seek out someone because they're black. Hey, it's like a static back there. Is that me or somebody else? Hello?
Yeah,
thanks.
Hi, Kenny.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, I was saying that I'm not going to go somewhere to just seek out someone because they're black. I'm going to go to the places I like going to. If I meet a black woman there, cool. If I meet a white woman there, cool. If I meet a magenta woman there, cool. To be honest, it's all about who makes your bacon sizzle. And with me, I don't really care about color as long as she's hot and has no kids. I'm just keeping that real. And I don't have kids and I don't want that. But it doesn't matter the color. I just feel like people just got to just like who they like. People don't like it. Tough.
That's what's up. That's what's up.
Okay. We got the Amongst Friends brother to the night. PJ is on the line. PJ, what's up?
Hey, what's up, everybody? Bringing you greetings from New York.
What's going on? All right, so PJ, I've asked a question of all of the friends here. So, have you dated outside your race?
Yes.
Ooh, yes.
PJ told us about his situation when we first met him.
He dated a Japanese woman.
Avery, close that door and go get in the bed. Go close the door.
So, PJ, how intense was the relationship that you had?
Jarvis.
Well, it wasn't.
Jarvis.
It was pretty intense. It was for about, you know, a couple weeks. But then, you know, we kind of dated. You know, we kind of saw each other time to time afterwards. But it was very interesting. Very, 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 very interesting.
Interesting how?
Interesting, and I just learned about, you know, a different culture. And my eyes were open to, well, I had a perception of what I thought was normal. You know, I had a perception of what I thought was normal in my eyes, and then this female showed me that, you know, normal in my eyes isn't normal in her eyes. You know, and there were some things about her normal that I really, really enjoyed.
And so did you bring those things that you really enjoyed and wanted your wife to incorporate them?
Well, no, because I understand that people are, a lot of times people can be locked into their culture. I believe that people are a sum of, you know, what you experience and, you know, what your environment is. I think it would be unfair for me to ask my current wife to, you know, pick up years of another culture that she's not used to and do that. You know, I think with my wife, you know, my wife, I created a normal. You know, and that normal was based on her culture and her experience. And, you know, when I was dating a girl from another country, you know, our relationship was based on her experience plus my experience. So I don't, you know, it's not a mix and match thing. I can't say, well, she used to do this, I think you should do that.
Okay. All right. Joey, how intense was your... Was your interracial tryout? How intense was it?
Say it again.
How intense was your interracial tryout? Your interracial relationship? How intense was it?
Were you asking me, Jeff?
Yes, Joey.
Oh, okay. They were pretty. There were a few that were just pretty kind of regular, just like, you know, dating someone who is the same race as me. Like, I encountered the same issues. Women, I've learned, are the same no matter what race they are. And I say that with much trepidation. Yeah, they pretty much the same. You think it's different, but it's not. It's just perception. But they were pretty much the same. I think probably the most powerful instances that I've endured, it mainly comes from their family. And that was probably the most intense part of it. You know, some of them, their family was absolutely against it, but because of the way the world is now, they didn't really say anything, but you can kind of, you know how you can just sense that there's something someone wants to say, but they just keep it to themselves? So I encountered a lot of that. In the few that I've had, but more recently, I've actually had a pretty decent experience. And a lot of times, some of the biggest fears people, you know, like you were saying, like if it's a white man dating a black woman, you know, the whole idea, oh, he's going to get mad and slip up and call her the N-word. You know, or vice versa. I haven't experienced any of that, and it's been quite awesome. I think
you know, aside from a few ignorant people's stupid comments that come out their face, because you just won't face, what I've learned, you just won't face stupidity no matter what, because the world is just not short on idiots. So you can't really fight against that. But aside from that, they've been, like I said, more recently, it's been quite awesome. I have no complaints.
Okay. All right. So, once again, we want to get our listeners to call on in if you have questions or comments. 760-683-2662. Hit that one, and we'll try and get you on the line as quick as we can. Now, I want
to...
Go ahead, Joey.
Oh, I was just going to say, we definitely want to hear if anyone, because it sounds pretty much like Amongst Friends crew is pretty, we're pretty open-minded, pretty down-to-earth, which I love about these guys. But we definitely want to hear from people that don't share the same viewpoint as us, that might actually think that there is something wrong with interracial relationships. We want to have this conversation with you. So, like Jeff said, 760-683-2662. You feel free to give your comments as well. You don't have to agree with us. You just got to make sure it's grown and sexy.
And respectful.
Because I'm the host tonight, and if I got to retro round and, ooh, let me tell you. Okay, so moving on.
Did he say retro round?
He did.
I'll retro round to this mouse on in front of you right now and kick you off the line. Anyway, I want to move next into kind of the subtopic of tonight, and there's the whole situation dealing with, you know, interracial relationships. Some people feel that, you know, that if you do it, you know, you are betraying your race. And I had to ask myself, in dealing with interracial relationships, do we have a bigger obligation to the human race, or just to, like, let's say the African American or the Indian, the Pakistani, the Caucasian? So for me, you know, I'm a free spirit just a little bit. So I'll say, you know, for me, I feel that I have more of an obligation to the human race, to help the human race, you know, push along and push further than, you know, just me being a black person dating other black people and keeping that. So, you know, whether it's right or wrong, that's just me. So how do you guys feel about that, you know, this whole race betrayal situation?
I think
I
think that it's different for everybody. There's a belief that everybody should, well, there's a secret, non-spoken belief almost in all cultures that you should marry your own kind. But for some people, that just doesn't work. There are some people who are bound to be world travelers. There are some people who are, you know, who need to learn other cultures. There are some people that your job or your occupation is going to have you deal with other people. And sometimes, and I might get in trouble for this, but I'll say it, sometimes there's a disadvantage for somebody who is not, well-rounded with dealing with other people. Sometimes if you just deal with your own, you don't know how to deal with people of other cultures. And I've seen our people and other races try to deal with other cultures, and it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible, especially with people who haven't dealt with people outside of their culture. They don't know how to deal with them. So my thing is that we need to think about the human race, and it's not for everybody to marry somebody within their own race.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I would totally agree with PJ, because I think that you know, there's no obligation to your race to stay within that as far as relationships. But I think when you're exposed to different cultures, different races, exposed to different areas and ways of life, I mean, it's proven over and over, even with the caller that called in, the places that he goes and the places that he likes to enjoy doing things. He enjoys salsa dancing. Well, you're not going to find very many African-American women salsa dancing in Phoenix. You're just not. So what is he around? You know what I mean? Being around, being exposed to something different is always, is better, I think. And you can't, it's not for everybody. You can't just walk into someone's life and just be with them. You have to think about their family, your family, how the two will interact. Could they interact? And so I think when people, you know, people are attracted to what they know until they know or are exposed to something different. So I don't expect, you know, Shaquita, for lack of a better name to use, to bump into to bump into Alexander from Boston. I mean, the two, their paths just wouldn't cross. And if Alexander saw Shaquita, he would think, no, not for me. And Shaquita would probably think Alexander was definitely not for her, was a bit lame. Now, that's not to say that anything's wrong with Shaquita or anything's wrong with Alexander. It just means that their two, what their interests, their likes, their attraction, it's not there because I don't know that. I'm not, I can't, you know, assimilate myself with that. I'm not comfortable with that. And I think people who do date outside of their race are people who have seen, traveled, been exposed, have a point of reference with like things with that person. So it's not so much about being obligated to hold up the bloodstained banner for your race as much as it is, what is, what are the things that we have in common that we agree on, that we come to a same level playing field on?
Yeah, I definitely feel what you're saying, Heather, and I think, Jeff, to further go with your question, is that we, I believe now as I've gotten older and as I've matured, is that we have more of a responsibility to the human race because, no, I was never ethnocentric or anything like that. Like, but I did have like this huge black pride, you know, especially growing up and just being so interested in black history, you know, and, you know, being a part of like a lot of these groups that built young African-American men who lived in poverty, you know, I had like this whole thing that my race was the most powerful race and we were, you know, we were underestimated, we were kind of left out of the gate and things like that. And just growing up and hearing people say, you know, we don't care what kind of woman you bring home, you just make sure you don't bring home no white woman, you know. And hearing those things and having that type of, you know, mentality, it wasn't until I got older and I saw, like, you know, even the Martin Luther Kings, you know, their whole idea, yeah, they wanted our race to be treated equally. They wanted African Americans or black people or colored people or whatever you label yourself as, you know, they wanted us to be equal, but they didn't want us to be separate. They didn't want us to take on the same superiority that other, you know, races had tried to, you know, place upon black. They wanted us to become more human rather than just this is who you are, this is who you are in this little box. And so when I went to a school where it was more diverse, and I didn't go to an all-black school, all-black college, or all-black university, you know, until graduate school. But, you know, my undergraduate really opened my eyes. And like TJ was saying, I was able to see that there are some people that just don't know how to interact with other cultures and other races. And so they say some, they spew like this vile sickness out of their mouth, especially when it comes to relationships and things like that. And just having those experiences and dealing with those, you know, even down to there are people who even they have it down to an exact science that if you don't have the same religion, you're not in the same denomination, you don't have the same occupation and color and status, like, you know, you're not worthy to date me or date my family or my kin. Like, it's so crazy, instead of people just saying, how about you just be with a decent human being? How don't you be with someone that's going to help you grow, help you succeed in life, and treat you right? It's based on these whole superficial ideologies that kind of just sicken me. And so I appreciate being able to think outside the box and date outside my race and be able to have, you know, my parents even be a lot, be very understanding too, and not being, you know, judgmental or upset or, you know, things like that. Like, that really made my life a little bit easier, you know, and my helping me shape my beliefs today, especially when it comes to interracial dating or relationships or marriages or having children. And I think that people, if you, you know, like we often say on the show, you got to do what makes you happy. You can't help who you fall in love with. But I also believe that if you're not doing these things for superficial reasons, like if you're not dating someone because you want light-skinned children or you want your kids to have straight hair or you trying to get into the Ivy League societies, I mean, granted, if, you know, there's some pluses to who you date, you know, if you get some bonuses for who you date, that's fine. But I think, I don't think that it should be for superficial reasons. And I think if I had to describe any parts of interracial or interreligion or what have you, whatever you want to call dating, I think that it should never be for superficial reasons. I think superficial reasons make it wrong, even down to stereotypical reasons. You know, I date white women because they're easier to deal with and they don't have attitude. Or I date, you know, Asian women because they are taught to be subservient and all these other stereotypes people have. I think if we're not doing it for that reason, I think it's absolutely fine to date outside your race.
Okay. So, Deidre, what say you? Do you feel you're more obligated to the human race or to your African American culture?
I want to be all political correct and all this kind of stuff and say I'm all about the world and all this. But no, seriously, before I ventured into dating outside of my race, I can totally relate that when I was younger, when I would see a black man with a white woman, of course, I was rolling my eyes. And I was like, man, seriously? But the reason, my reason was, here I am. I'm single. What in the world are you doing over there when you can be right here with all of this chocolate goodness? But then I got out of that in the last couple of years. But it, you know, but it was one of those situations where it feels uncomfortable because you do get the stares, you get the side comments, or, you know, like, what are y'all doing together, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, I want some chocolate babies. I don't. So I'm gonna be honest with you and tell you that if you had Tyrone, Alexander, Javier, and Francois standing in line talking about, hey, DJ, we want to be with you, I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm straight going for Tyrone.
I'm so mad right now.
I'm just saying.
Well, no, I mean, I understand what she's saying. That's her preference. I mean, that's like anybody.
No. I'm not mad because of who she picked.
I'm just mad at
you
the name.
You mad his name is Tyrone?
Yeah, just the name.
Alexander
could be black. Alexander could be black. Maybe not Javier, but Alexander could be black.
I'm just saying.
I'm sorry. I was just being silly. I'm sorry.
Maybe I should have said, no, I can't say Peter because I know some Peter.
Okay. Here's what I believe is the underlying cause. It's two things. I believe that how we're taught, how we feel about race is something that we're taught. And I say that because if you put two babies of different races together, there's never any animosity, there's never any hesitation. It's not until they learn, racial opinions and racial stereotypes do they have those opinions. And then my second thing is this. A lot of times, interracial relationships are all right between the two people who are in a relationship until it comes down to making other people happy.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Be those people family, be those people who they see on the street, be those close friends. Because a lot of times, and I think this is a part of the American culture that may not be the best thing. Because you might get with somebody who is of the same, of a different race, and that person may make you happy, turn you out, make your toes curl. But you'll leave all of that if mommy and daddy and my girlfriends and my college buddies don't approve of this person.
Ooh, that's not Deidre.
And then we'll go get somebody who, who everybody approves of but won't be happy with. And I just think that is just not smart. And I'm not saying anybody at this panel does it, but I see it happen a lot, at least in our race.
Right.
What is my mother going to say? What is my father going to say? Who cares? If this person makes you happy, then I say go for it. But I think that we live in a society where, we are in financial debt because we try to please other people. We are in emotional misery because we're trying to please other people. And at some point, you have to stop. And when it comes to relationships, to me, that's where I draw the line. I have to be with who makes me happy. And I can't, because once the door closed, my mother, my people from church, my close friends and I did, I got to stare at somebody in the face. And it has to be somebody who I like and who I want to stare in their face.
Right. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what we want. At the end of the day, that's what we want. And I just so people understand, because one of the chatters said, no, don't pick Tyrone because he may have bad credit and all this kind of stuff.
See what I'm saying?
But
that is so funny.
For me, it seriously is one of those situations where once I'm in, regardless if mama, daddy, sister, brother, coworkers, everybody, likes them or not. Once I'm in. I don't care about your past. I don't care about anything. It's just me and you. If I've made the decision, the decision is set. So that's why if I want Tyrone, Mr. Chatter, I'm going to have Tyrone with his bad credit and all.
Okay. Well, right now we have one of our callers on the line. We have Richard from the ATL. Good evening, Richard. How you doing?
Hey, how's everybody doing?
Good. Wonderful.
Great. Doing good.
Y'all ain't going to like this. Y'all ain't finna like it. Y'all not finna like what he had to say, because I told him to call in because he is not in agreement. So go ahead.
Okay.
What's your question? I guess my thing is just kind of overall statement, just for us all the topic. I mean, I heard a little bit of what you guys were saying. Overall, I think whoever makes you happy is cool. It's a cool statement. It's the PC statement. It's what people like to say. I think as a community of African Americans, and that's what we're basically, I guess that's who we're talking about, I think it's detrimental to our community for us not to be dating each other and picking each other back up. I think you see other communities, African communities, Latino communities, other communities speaking with each other, putting their money into their communities, so forth and so on, and marrying their own. Me personally, I would rather see more African Americans, more black love, more examples of that in our community, and for us not to abandon each other. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Being here in Atlanta, you know, it's for being a male, it's easier, no doubt. I know it's harder for the females here in Atlanta, but it just, you know, it unnerves me to see it. At the end of the day, like you guys were saying, you know, each his own, that's cool. You know, if someone makes you happy, that's all that really matters. But I do think it's a detriment on our community. I think, you know, in 20, 30 years, what is the landscape for an African-American child going to look like when there is no more black family? Because it's moving, in my estimation, it looks like it's moving that way.
Mm. Okay, so what do you say to this, Richard? If that 20 and 30 years there is, if you can conceive that question, then you have to also conceive the question that what if there's just loving families, period, a true melting pot, a true manifestation of Dr. King's dream, not just at the table, not just at work, but family life. What do you say to that? When you think about the possibility of no black family, do you look at that and say, well, hopefully there is this this other representation of family that's there for this mixed situation that's possibly going on? Or do you just say, oh, well, hopefully there's a black family around in 20 or 30 years and just leave it at that?
No, I mean, I think that, you know, I was talking about this with my fiancé and just when we're thinking about what we're doing in our life. Yes, Nick. Yes.
Offline. I'm sorry, y'all. Are you serious? Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Wow. Check Facebook, man. Check Facebook. Hey. But no.
Yeah, Deidre, check your Facebook.
No, come on, man. But anyway, no. But it's to the point I was trying to make here is that, you know, we were talking about how we were raised and having a racial identity. I worry about my kids my point, 20, 30 years from now. Are they going to have the same racial identity that we grew up with? And being able to recognize their place in American history. I was looking at promos. George Lucas was talking about trying to make this new movie of Red Tails, and the fact that even today, with a black president, that the studios did not want to make a movie about the Tuskegee Airmen with no white protagonist. That you can't just have something that's all black and it go out there and make money. I say all this to say that it's still important that we have a community of our, you know, that we have our community and that we have our own money like everyone else does. At the end of the day, yes, you're going to have people who are going to, you're going to have a melting pot of sorts, but you're always going to have a community that keeps their money, that keeps their keep their ethnicity. What happens, I don't want our ethnicity just to go away, just to be kind of integrated in the pot. And the reality is the idea of the melting pot, it's never really been a melting pot, it's more of a salad. I still want to keep the racial identity, but still, I'm African American. I am of African American descent, and I want to keep that. I want my children to know what they are, who they are, and what their history is, and not just, it doesn't matter. You're, you know, all your friends are white. You're maybe of mixed race or whatever it is. No, there is delineation. You are this, and you should be proud of that, along with being proud of being American and being an American kid. I mean, I do think it should be American kid first. Like, you should be probably be American kid. And, oh, by the way, yes, I am black, or yes, I am Asian, or whatever it may be. But you should still have your racial identity if possible.
So am I less black if I marry somebody outside of my race?
I wouldn't. Well, to be perfectly honest with you, I wouldn't. That's not for any individual to say. I mean, obviously not. I mean, I know people who do it all the time. I have friends who do that. But my point is that it's a personal decision. And also, I'm looking at from a grander stance of racial identity for our community, not in the individual. I think on individual by individual case, to the point you guys are making, sure. If so, I mean, like I said, if the perfect woman out there was an Asian woman that lives in California, then that's fine for me. Cool. You know, that's if that was works for someone, that's cool. No one should judge that. But I just, me personally, I couldn't see it. I couldn't see someone who wasn't raised like me, doesn't have, you know, didn't grow up like me, wasn't raised like me, doesn't go through the same things that I went through, to be with that person for the rest of my life.
Is that cultural, though? Is that something that you were taught, or is that something that's right?
I think the way, it depends how you grow up in America. I think for me personally, on a personal level, I grew up all around, you know, all white schools. I was the kind of guy that probably would have dated a white girl. But my mother made sure that I had a black identity. She made sure that I knew where I came from. That's why I went to HBCU. You know, and I left the HBCU, and I, you know, worked in D.C., worked in Atlanta, worked in black, you know, chocolate city. So I have an identity, and I have a connection to my community. But for me, I would feel it is, in some respects, a slap in the face to my mother, my sisters, my aunts, my family, to have someone that is not of African American descent. You know, to bring that person up in the house. Like, hey, here's Stacey. You know, whatever. Now, at the end of the day, I heard when you guys said, at the end of the day, to the point that was made, you know, once the doors are closed and I got to deal with it, it's my decision. And my family and my friends will deal with it. But to me, I don't think it helps as a community.
Right. Well, let's look at this. As a community, we are the largest consumers, and we barely own anything. But we are the absolute largest consumer. So is that a good thing, or is that something that we should, you know, keep in our culture? Because truthfully speaking, all of our black culture is not good. And I think that at some point we have to admit that.
Because most
of the black money goes out and it doesn't come back in. And it's not generated among the black community. So, I mean, that's even with a black man and a black woman with black kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because their money goes to the Koreans for dry cleaning, for nails. It goes to the Chinese man for Chinese food. It goes to the white man at Macy's. So, I mean, if we're talking about looking at us on a global scale, you know, there's some things about our culture that need to be improved globally. And I don't think that marrying outside of your race is the demise of the black culture. I think that we have some part in our own demise without mixing with anybody else.
Well, to your point, that doesn't help this situation. I agree with you, everything you said, but marrying outside of race doesn't help the point. It just perpetuates everything that you have that's going on. I mean, before the segregation, Brown versus Board of Education, before desegregation of schools, you had stronger black families because we didn't have the choice to go anywhere else. So you had stronger black families. You had, you know, we couldn't go to the Koreans. We had to deal with our own, so forth and so on. So, to me, marrying outside your race doesn't help that point. I do agree with you that we should be investing in our own businesses, all those type of things. I'm more pro that than anything else. You know, I'd much rather see. I mean, it's one of the reasons, me personally, I live in a chocolate city. You know, I wouldn't even live in, you know, somewhere where I'm not. I like to be in the majority here, not the minority. You know, I go to the West End and, you know, buy from African-American businesses as much as possible. Then you get your stuff together, but, you know, I try to do that. So, for me, I want a strong black community, and the cornerstone to that, the cornerstone, especially for me as a black male, is my black female. I don't see any other woman deal with me, help me, support me, and make me the best man that I can be without my black woman. So that's the cornerstone of my family.
Right, but can we look at some pure numbers?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, let's look at some, and I agree with you, but I just want to make sure that we look at both sides, because a lot of times when this point is made, we just look at one side, and I want to make sure that we have a panoramic view of everything. We are only 12% of the people in the United States, 12%. So for every 100 people, only 12 of them are going to be black. Because we're packed in a few cities doesn't mean that we're the majority. And a lot of people don't know that. The second thing is this, and this goes for the women. For every five black men, and it's a statistic, two of those guys are in jail. One of those guys is not interested in the black female, if I'm going to be politically correct.
There's
plenty of other ways that I can say it. But, so we're 12%, and let's look at this from the ladies' point of view. So for every five guys, two of them are in jail. All right? One of those guys is a homosexual, and we're not including the guys who don't admit they are homosexuals and really are.
Mm-hmm.
So for every five guys, you're looking at possibly two of them that a black woman may have to choose from. And then of those two, most of those guys are ugly, fat, out of shape.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know,
it's getting worse.
And those numbers are getting worse every day. And I'm not saying, you know, now my preference for marriage and for a life partner is a black woman. That's what I need for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I have dated outside of my race. But
it's
not easy for a black woman today. And I really can't get mad at a black woman for dating outside of her race.
But I understand that, but
can't do
I guess my
I can't
thing
get
is,
mad at a woman for marrying outside of a race. Can't do it.
And that's understandable, but why is the alternative, well, it's okay, instead of us as black men going to young black men, high school age black men, college age black men, if we, you know, let's say, you know, I mean, I'm in my 30s, so, you know, going to younger black men and bringing up our black men and making them the men that we are, and addressing the issues of making sure that all those black guys aren't in jail, getting, you know, helping our community out so that our black women have black men to date. I mean, because, like, so I can sit there, I mean, I agree with you. I, you know, in probably 10, 15, 18 years from now, when I have a daughter and she's dating, I would prefer her to date a black man. But he needs to be a substance. He needs to be the type of black man that her father is, me, and her uncles, and the type of black men that she's seen in all of her life. I want to make sure she has that option. So I want to make a world where black men, that we bring up our black men, instead of just saying, oh, well, it's okay if a black woman dates a white guy. I don't think it's okay, personally. My argument is I want to give you better options. When I was single, I wanted to be the best option I could be. I wanted to be out there as an example. This is what you should expect. This is how I'm going to carry myself, and you deserve a black man like me, whatever the situation is. So I don't take the attitude of, no, it's okay, I'm cool with it, I'm just going to throw my hands up. I want to improve our group. I want to improve our people.
And I agree with you as long as you are saying, brother, that you're going to be responsible. Because, see, a lot of times black people are really good for throwing blame but not taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to. You have no choice. The question becomes, okay, who are you mentoring?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Who are you mentoring? How many young men do you have? How many young men do you spend weekends with? How many young men do you speak to? Because to make a complaint and not have responsibility, I believe, is irresponsible.
Okay. So, you brothers are making some really, really good points, and I'm really digging this whole situation. However, I don't want you brothers to get too political on this. I'm sorry, but that's just me. I want to try and keep this, you know, a little bit more lighter on interracial relationships and whether they're right and whether they're wrong. Brother Richard from ATL, we thank you very much for calling us. And,
no problem.
Appreciate
the call, bro.
No
problem. Y'all have a good one, all right?
You too. Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
All right. Now, right now, we're going to go to Mike from Detroit. Mark, you still there? Are you still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, Brother Mike, what's your question or comment tonight?
Well, I just want to make a quick comment. As far as, like, you know, I mean, I heard some of the things they were telling, like, the previous caller. I mean, as far as, like, that, you know, so I feel like, you know, every people, you know what I'm saying, has their ups and their downs throughout history, you know, throughout time or whatever. Everybody has their ups and their downs as a people. You know, I think at the end of the day, you know, Black America, you know, they will survive, you know what I'm saying, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, 40 million ain't really that bad if you look at certain ethnic groups around the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and really, a lot of the niggas you need anyway. And, you know, at the end of the day, at 5 million, you have 4 times the people to the family. They
okay. Is it just me or is Mike going in and out?
Yeah. Mike is going in and out.
Okay, Mike. Check your connection because you're going in and out, and we want to hear what you're saying, but.
Hello. Did he say the N word?
He did, but we're amongst friends, so we're going to keep it moving. So, Mike, what's your comment? But make sure we're talking in the mic and go for it.
Okay. Well, what I was just basically saying that, you know, like at this point in time, you know, like interracial dating, you know, when it comes to us, you know what I'm saying? It's like, to me, it's domination. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's really domination, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, a lot of us is in a state of mind, and, you know what I'm saying? It really, when you look at other people throughout the world, there can really be no greater love for one's, like, own culture and name and land and language, and we don't have that right now. So, you know, that's why we find ourselves, you know, doing these type of things. But, I mean, I feel like it, when you see somebody, like, you see other ethnic groups, you know what I'm saying, that, like, had their name and their land, it's not, like, made a big deal. Because neither one has been, like, in captivity to each other. So I feel like here is this, it's more so domination. That's why we keep asking these questions of, like, why, you know, how you feel about interracial dating. Because we had this, you know, we had this relationship, this dominant, you know, this mother, you know, this father-child relationship with white America. And, you know, we're not like the full-grown people like that. And it's just domination, you know what I'm saying, a lot of times. It's just domination. You know, anytime I want my kids to, you know, have good hair. No, you know, this is all the stuff, you know, niggas be saying. You know, they just messed up a lot of them, and you don't need them. And maybe it's just a way of getting rid of them. And we can start over with new people and be powerful, be back on top. You know, just and love each other, you know what I'm saying? That's all. We can just love each other and have our own and, you know, be at peace and raise our children. We won't be, you know, trying to run behind another people and be like them and want to do everything with them. And that's all, you know what I'm saying? Just love each other. Not be dominated. You know, not be, you know, having a big, fat white woman and I'm just so enthused by her.
All right.
I'm just saying that's how you know it's the truth. That's how we
okay,
is. Like,
wait
we messed
a
up.
Minute. Then I said we were going to be
as a people. I'm just saying, like,
but we have to be respectful. Now, so Mike, now I'm gonna go ahead.
Just saying though, I love black people, but they, a lot of them is messed up. They messed up. They just can't get right in their minds. And they messed
okay.
up. That's
all right. Well, Mike, we do appreciate your call.
Hold on, Deirdre.
Absolutely not.
Deirdre. Hey, Deirdre, tell me what made you stop Mike. What made you want to stop him?
Okay, I stopped Mike because Mike was starting to go in a little too deep and on his own personal thing. And we have Mike W. on the line from D.C. that we want to go ahead and bring in. So, Mike,
Mike W. says a word.
Mike, come on. What you got to say? Come on, talk to us.
I'm just getting in on the topic.
Uh-huh.
So what can I ask what the topic is? I'm just leaving out of church, so I'm asking what the topic is.
Mike, I just thought you were going to help me bring us on into another segment of the conversation, and you ain't even ready for us tonight. The topic tonight is interracial relationships.
I don't believe in it.
Okay, so Mike,
so
tell us why you don't believe in it. Come on.
Hold on, Deidre.
Hold up, Mike. Let me tell you something. Now, the Mike, you done just got out of church. So I need you to be respectful. Now, tell me why you don't appreciate it. It's not good for you. Come on, talk.
Hello?
Uh-huh, go ahead.
Yeah.
You have the air.
What I don't believe in is, because one, too many black women out here that need a strong black man for one.
Okay.
Two, I don't believe that should even go on. I mean, they should still, I'm not racist enough, but they need to stay on their side and we still on our side.
Wow.
And everything would be a little peaceful.
Wait, now come on now, Mike. Hold up.
Wow, really,
so
Mike?
Wait, Mike.
Yeah, really.
That's how I really got out of church. Where the Lord speaks on loving your brother and sister.
Say what?
And you talking about they stay on one side and we stay on the other. Really? Is that what God? Is that what they teaching you in the church these days?
No, they don't teach me that. No, they don't teach me that. Hold on.
Okay.
Mike
now
is doing too many things at one time.
Right,
I don't think he can be on the
okay
call
so,
right now.
So,
okay.
We're going to, Mike, go ahead and call us back and we'll see if. Yeah.
This is what I want to say is I want to understand why you stopped Mike from Detroit.
I'm going to be honest. The reason
you interrupted him after
as soon as he said that big white fat or white fat something, I was like, oh, no. Not going to be there. No,
oh,
not
God,
tonight.
No.
Not
I thought
tonight.
You were going to stop him when he dropped the N-word.
Well, I mean, we drop a lot of words here on Amongst Friends because we are amongst friends. And
but
so
we don't say the N-word.
We don't say it, but we say a lot of other stuff. Yes, sir. What's going on? I'm sorry.
All right, Deidre, what was the interesting question that the chatter asked online?
Okay, the interesting question. Wait, hold up. Oh, okay, going on to another subject. The chatter online wanted to know, because he felt like we were kind of, you know, it was a great introductory into the subject, but he wanted to know, for those of you who have been in other interracial relationships, let's be real. Now, was the sex different?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sex is always great because I'm a part of it. So.
You know what, Joey? I'm going to need you to sit in the corner.
On,
the corner that Jeff normally goes in, you have been sent there.
Okay.
Okay.
But it's great because I'm in it.
Joey, I love how you always speak from that very special, happy place in your heart when we talk about sex.
Right.
Look, why y'all hating, though? It's not about race for the sex thing. It's not about race. It's about who what you put into it. And I'm just saying, when I have sex, even though I shouldn't be, but when I do, it's great. And I don't care if she black, blue, green, yellow, white, purple, orange. She come in with the mindset that she won't please me, and I come in with the mindset I'm going to please her. We will have a great time. Orgasms for everybody. Holla.
You know what, Joey? Oh. To the corner. To the freaking corner.
I mean, sit to the corner. You say crazy stuff all the time. Either you say crazy stuff all the time.
Jay.
Yes.
How is it different?
Okay.
Well, here's what I learned. The best thing a woman can have in the bed is not necessarily parts or even skill. The best thing that a woman can have in the bed is enthusiasm. And when a woman is enthused about pleasing a man, it is the biggest turn-on in the world.
And that's her race.
Okay, so, but there are...
so her race made her enthusiastic?
Right, I'm saying, because... Heather is very enthusiastic when she has
sex. Well, I haven't slept with Heather, so I wouldn't know.
Let's make that very clear. That TJ and I have not slept together.
But he just said, I'm not saying that black women are not. The question was about my interracial relationship. So what I'm saying about my interracial relationship was that the female was very enthusiastic about pleasing me and only me and not even worrying about herself being pleased, which was an extreme turn-on.
And you know what? If all women of all races thought like that, it would be the same. It would be the same. I'm saying that from my corner I was put in.
You know what? That's why your butt in the corner.
But that doesn't matter. I just said that never mind.
Okay,
like Jeff said, it's my fantasy world. But, TJ, dude, if all women thought like she did, then men would love sex with all different types of women.
Okay, but the point is, the chatter just said that he is saying she was a superhead, which fits the stereotype. And the other question was she a head doctor? Okay, you know what, Chatter? I'm not going to be saying.
Why would you read this, Deidre? Deidre, you got to do better.
Well, the point is, if I could get this Chatter to call in, I wouldn't have to read his... I wouldn't have to read the comment that I'm reading right now, which I will not disclose over the air.
Well, I will go on record to say this. I know that I'm a visual person, and in my dealing, there was something so alluring about watching my skin tone and that skin tone. Just work it on out. Just
and Jeff doesn't got to go to the corner.
And try to. No, I don't have no corner. our skin tones the tones just blend together, trying to become
one. Oh my
God!
Lord help!
And that right there is just something that just put it over
really?
The top.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, but deeper. You don't got to go to a corner though.
I mean, but you have to understand that Jeff permanently has a chair in the corner, and so obviously you have been talking entirely too much to Jeff.
I feel slighted that y'all always think of me in the corner.
Oh, Joey,
I'm sorry.
Okay, we have another call on the line. Are we welcoming Joy to the line right now?
Oh my goodness! Joy is here in the new year.
No. Happy 2012.
So. Joy, what's your question or comment for the folks at Amongst Friends tonight?
I'd like to know what kind of milkshake was going on with your skins blending as one.
Right!
What was that?
Exactly!
Say that again, please.
Wait a minute.
Did you
ask your question again, George?
My question was, as them tones was blending as one, what kind of milkshake did you have going on? What was that about?
Let me tell you.
It was just a beautiful thing. That's what it was. But you didn't answer the question. The question was it different?
Wow.
I don't think skin tones have anything to do with whether or not the sex changed.
Wow.
Well, that was part of what made it different.
It was that whole.
Okay, not only am I dealing with, a brother already said, a woman that might have more enthusiasm or, as Joy put it, it might be the same for every woman that's out there, in some aspect or another, but that right there was what made it different. I knew in my mind what I was looking at wasn't a light-skinned black woman. It was a woman of another race. And I didn't think about that going in, but that is what sort of, added icing to the cake of that situation for me. It was because, like I said, I'm a visual person, so.
So now there's icing. Cake icing.
Yeah, there was icing. I can say that. There was icing.
So, Ms. Deja, I think Joey should be pulled out the corner because I agree. I don't think that, based on the enthusiasm, if the parts are still the same, race or not, it should still all outcomes should be the same.
I totally agree with you. And I've already told you, Joey, before, Jeff has a permanent spot in the corner. So,
I could see that. But, yeah. I gotta jump on the Joey bandwagon today. Joey, we reconnected, buddy. What's going on?
I think Joey's upset that he's in the corner right now.
See, you shouldn't have put him in there. He don't deserve to be in there. He's telling the truth.
Thank you.
Somebody. Deidre and Jeff be hating on me.
Really? Is that where we're going?
All right.
All the time.
But I take it with a grain of salt.
Right.
That's all. It's water off a duck.
We want to thank Joy for calling in this evening. We want to thank all of our callers who called in tonight to make this topic hot like fire. It was really interesting.
Thanks, Richard, and congratulations on your engagement.
That Deidre didn't know about, she needs to be in the corner.
I really do need to be in the corner about that because I totally missed it.
Mm-mm.
But congratulations nonetheless.
Yes. So
next week's topic.
Once again, we're going to bring another great show to a close here at Amongst Friends. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank all my friends for being online. I want to thank Deidre, Joey, Heather, PJ from the NYC tonight. I want to thank you very much, brother, for taking us there tonight. So, Deidre, hit us with what's going to be our topic for next week.
All right. Join us next week where we're going to the church, people. So, church folks, call in. Because this is something that you might need to hear. We're talking about why Christians are spiritually weak. Y'all hear me? Christians, why are you spiritually weak? Now call in next week and get the answer.
All right. Now.
You know what, Heather? Why are you already? It ain't even next week.
Just so everybody know, next week I will be standing at the door with the collection plate. we will be having.
And I'll have the holy water if you want to buy it for $2.50.
And I got the prayer cloth.
I was about to say, the prophecies will be coming out.
why are we doing this? That is so wrong.
And PJ will be preaching the word. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Not
go
if y'all have no money.
Oh, my God. Y'all are terrible.
Wow.
I can't let me die.
We'll take up a love offer for the preacher of the hour.
Right.
That's
right.
Because Deidre said the prophecies
right.
will be going forth. I am done with a
right.
lot of trends.
Right.
This hour, at this hour, all of you are in the corner.
You know what, Joey? Don't be like that. Don't be.
Oh, my goodness. All right. This is Jeff for Amongst Friends. We're signing off. We love you all. See you next week.
Peace.
For me,
I won't say
across
the
board.
And I think we need to get back to
space. Amongst Friends. Conversations for the Grown and Sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love,